let you go. If I have to beg, plead for your sympathy, I don't mind, cause you mean that much to me. Ain't too proud to beg.
Hello everyone, this is Sean Ennis with the MMA Torchcast for June 15th, 2007. Joining me this week is your MMA Torch prediction champion, Jerry Catalane. Jerry, how are you?
Shawnee, the champ is here. Life is good, baby. It's good to be back on top. It really is. It's been a while.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. I plan on staying for a while, kind of like a stain.
I'm one Quinn Jackson pick away from being in your spot.
Well, that's, you know, but the key is going out on the underdog and being able to pick that dog in the main event spot, you know.
Yeah.
I originally got there with Nick Diaz taking out Gomi, and, you know, the rest of the hallowed crew didn't believe it. So every now and then you got to wander out onto that limb.
There you have it from the champ himself,
from the
ladies
champ.
And gentlemen.
Come and get it.
All right, well, we've got a lot of stuff going on this week. We had the fight night card on Tuesday night. We'll start off with that one. Now, Jerry, you didn't get a chance to see the whole thing.
I saw bits and pieces due to a work schedule, but, you know, from what I've been picking up and kind of the clips I've been able to watch, like I said, I saw bits and pieces of the Fisher-Stout battle, and that looked fantastic. I mean,
yeah.
For a free card and have that wrap it up, I admit I did not see the earlier part of the card. You know, Spencer Fisher is the man.
Yeah.
I like him a ton.
Yeah, I've always been a big Fisher fan. He always goes out there and, you know, and puts on a good show. It was a great fight. I mean, and they had, you know, the John Fitch fight was really good. Fitch went out there. He lost the first round, but, you know, had terrific submission defense against Roland Carnero and, you know, almost got caught in an anaconda choke in the first round twice. And got out of it and came out and knew he had to keep it on the feet, and he did it, and he went down and choked him out. It was great.
Yeah, I mean, it sucked because as much as I like to, pimp out on Fitch there, you know, not getting his due, I was kind of bitter that I haven't yet been able to watch that fight yet this afternoon. But I think it speaks well for Carnero that he had Fitch in as much trouble as he did. Especially in that first round, and you know, I don't think there's any question that Fitch is a top 10 man.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think, you know, certainly Carnero has put his resume in there that he is maybe a step below that, but not far.
Yeah, Carnero will be back for sure. It's, you know, he looked real good against Rich Clemente, and it'll be interesting where they match him up next. But I imagine he will be back.
Yep.
Anthony Johnson, another guy that came out there and just did what nobody expected and knocked out Chad Reiner in 13 seconds. I mean, this guy, if that's any indication. I mean, Chad Reiner went three rounds with Josh Berkman, and Josh Berkman is no slouch with on the feet.
No, great fighter. Berkman proved that, just a couple weeks ago. He's a solid, solid fighter. Again, not a top 10 guy yet, but certainly on the rise.
Yeah.
You're alluding to the prediction championship and whatnot. These are the ones that make you scratch your head.
For sure.
You know, this is
for
what makes MMA exciting and fun to watch, and kind of goes to prove that none of us really know anything at all.
It's true. I mean, you know, Johnson comes in there, he's 3-0. You know, who knows anything about this guy?
Right.
And he comes in there and just knocks him cold. So, and a late replacement at that.
And a late replacement at that. That's what makes this fun.
Because
on paper, this looked like, you know, it was Reiner's fight all the way. His style would dominate. He's got it, you don't want to say it was too easy or too suggestive, but it was. And, you know, especially when you don't have a good feel for the guys definitively, that's what makes MMA fun.
Yeah, for sure. It was, I thought it was a heck of a card from top to bottom, you know. 2 hours, there was only one little lull in the action, I thought, if you read my thoughts in the blog. You know, they with the WEC, how they presented their fight night, it was pretty much two solid hours of fighting, and they got six fights in there, which is pretty impressive. You know, obviously you got to have some short fights in order to do that.
Right.
But, you know, the UFC didn't pace it quite as well, I thought, for some reason. They had, you know, in the first 40 minutes, we got 46 seconds of fighting in two fights, you know, which, you know, you can't really blame them all that much for it, but at the same time, that's a lot of filler, you know.
That is a lot of filler. You know, we've kind of complained about this in the past, and, you know, I'm going to get my stick out to hit the dead horse again. You know, it is a free card, yes, but you don't want to lose your audience in the first hour.
Exactly.
You know, you don't want to lose your audience in the first hour. And if you're looking at fights that are, I mean, let's take a three-round fight. You got 15 minutes of fight time if it goes the distance, a couple minutes in between. So really, you're looking at 20 minutes from bell to bell.
Yeah.
And you should be able to put that in a half an hour space.
Yeah.
So realistically, stick in, you know, I mean, if you got 2 hours of show, you should be able to have four full-length fights. Now, if you got, you know, if you have obviously short fights, then I think six should be the standard.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, but again, I mean, the setup for the show, I think, you know, you had the, by most accounts, weak-looking UFC 272 card, which I don't think it's necessarily a weak card. It's not a big name card, perhaps, but I think it's a real good card, truthfully. And I think that, you know, for them to try to pimp the 72 card, I think was reasonable. I read that they had a recap of the first few fights, and that I thought was surprising, and I'm glad I didn't see that part.
Yeah, I thought it was a little silly to have a recap of fights we already saw. You know, if you're gonna try and get viewers for your next cards, why not say, hey, we had a great night of fights, you know, and talk about it a little bit, but don't show what people missed, because, you know, make them regret it, make them show up earlier next time.
Right.
You know, show highlights of the prelims that you're not going to be able to get to if you want to. You know, I don't understand the logic behind that one.
It screams TNA/WWE to me.
Yeah.
To recap your previous action so that you can keep up on a quote-unquote storyline.
Sure.
And there's really not that feel that you got to keep up on the storyline with most MMA fights. I mean, there's a build-up to a fight, but individual fights in and of themselves, you really don't have that yet, where so-and-so wins a fight and he's calling out somebody in terms of, you know, getting his title shot, at least not on the free cards.
Yeah, for sure.
And the early free cards, anyway.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And if that is the case, you can be sure that they're going to let you know after the show, you know, with a build-up to the next card or a countdown or whatever you have.
Right, right.
So. But, yeah,
I thought that just kind of touch up here a little bit. I caught a little bit of the Tavares fight, and he looks like a beast.
Yeah, yeah.
I think oh my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. I think Jason Black, you know, he's too big to be a 155, man. He looked just bad.
Yeah.
You know, and Black's a good fighter, very good fighter, but he's just more at home at 170. You know, yeah, he got choked out by Shinya Aoki, but who didn't?
Yeah, but yeah, there's no shame there. I mean, that guy's made of rubber. I mean,
yeah. So, you know, it was a shame to see him like that, because, you know, Black's a good fighter. He has a reputation for not being the most exciting fighter, but, you know, it's just the way it is sometimes.
He's got 20-some-odd wins, though, so, you know, how bad can he be? I mean, you know, and he's beaten some good fighters. So, I mean, just with that resume and Tavares, you know, taking it to him like he did, and Tavares, you know, showing his skill, I think that speaks well for Tavares in that division.
Yeah, I agree.
Dangerous fighter, certainly.
Yeah. And McFedries, good grief, this guy.
he's certainly working his way up the division, isn't he?
Man, I'll tell you what. I want to see Drew McFedries and Terry Martin fight immediately. I need to see that fight right now.
Yeah, I think I'd like to see that later in the summer.
Yes.
I'd like to see that fight later in the summer, maybe in September, maybe on the 75 card. I think that would be a great fight. That would be.
Man, that would be
material.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Neither guy's, you know, been out of the first round at 185.
Right.
I mean, come on. That's a gimme.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. I think, you know, I think that 185 division is getting pretty interesting. I think you threw Terry Martin's name in there. You know, you look at Terry Martin, you look at Drew McFedries, you know, are these guys becoming top 10 sort of guys?
Yeah.
I mean, the top of the middleweight division is pretty stacked, but the bottom, you know, you could make an argument for a couple of these guys being top 10 guys.
Sure. I mean, look at Kendall Grove. That's a guy you don't think about all that often, but he speaks up.
Kendall Grove.
And, I'll tell you what, Kendall Grove can be a beast.
Kendall Grove, as he gains more experience, Kendall Grove will be a champion. He will be a world, he will be a world champion down the road,
yeah,
as he gains more
certainly
experience.
Certainly wouldn't be surprising.
You know, as long as he doesn't sustain a career-threatening injury, I can't see how he doesn't challenge and win a title.
Yeah.
You know, 2 or 3 years down the road here, he is a beast. His size is such a issue for his opponents.
Yeah,
he's got the vicious ground and pound. He's lanky. I would not want to try to fight him in that division.
Yeah.
I mean, not with the package he brings to the table.
Yeah, I agree. And then we have, let's see, we've got, oh, and then, of course, the main event. We got Fisher and Stout, and good. That was a great fight. Great fight.
Excellent fight. Like I said, I saw pieces of it, and Spencer Fisher is rapidly becoming one of my favorite fighters.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in terms of just pure entertainment value, he just brings it. It seems like every fight he's in, he brings it. It's exciting, win, lose, or draw. And this was a, you know, and Stout's no chump. I mean,
that's for sure.
This is a real good fight with two really evenly matched guys. And from what I saw of it, you know, Fisher just outslugged him. And boy, did he land some shots. Oh, my God.
And
goodness.
Sam Stout, the guy, his chin, I mean, it must be made of stone. I mean, it was amazing. He was taking flush shots to the chin for three straight rounds.
Yeah, the first clip I saw Fisher throw like a right cross, and it was on the button. And
yeah,
I almost fell over.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And I was thinking to myself, what is keeping this guy up? And
yeah,
just amazing. You know, credit to Stout. He'll be back. He certainly, you know, has earned his bones for, you know, a couple more fights in the UFC. Certainly with that.
Sure.
That,
oh yeah.
There's no question about it.
Yeah. And Fisher just looks very, very crisp with his striking. And I thought he was really smart. You know, he went in for a couple of takedowns early on. You know, not real strong takedown attempts, but, you know, he went in for him. And Stout pretty much stuffed him. And, you know, I thought it was smart of him not to waste his energy going for takedowns when he was obviously winning the fight on the feet anyway. You know, why tire yourself out if you're maybe not going to be able to do it? And you're also winning the fight already, you know.
Exactly.
I just thought that was really good for him.
Shawnee, how stacked is the lightweight division?
Oh, my gosh.
how crowded is that division getting? I mean,
it's insane.
Especially when you start dropping some of the Pride fighters into the card.
Yeah.
You're going to be seeing over the rest of the summer. You're going to have Mock Sakurai fighting and,
yeah,
you know, Penn. And, you know, I'm anxious to see what Pulver throws up against Penn in a couple weeks here. And, you know, if Pulver can pull off a win, that gets him right back in the mix all of a sudden out of nowhere.
Yeah,
you know, you got Nick Diaz and Aoki and Stevenson, and Frank is getting a title shot, for crying out loud. I mean,
yeah,
lightweight is just stacked. I mean,
yeah, it is. And you do have guys.
Fighters. Exciting fighters.
Yeah, oh, yeah, for sure. You do have guys like Sakurai, who's actually going to be fighting at 170 from what we're hearing.
I've heard it both ways, actually.
Have you?
I've heard it both ways. You know, we'll I forget who he's fighting Sanchez, I think, at 75. But I had
that's
heard
the word that, anyway.
That's the word. I had heard if it does not go well for him there, he's going to go. He's going to cut to 155.
Ah,
that's what
yeah,
I.
That's
what I've read. Now.
Yeah, that's the question for these Pride guys because they had the 163 division. So it's you know, it's either up or down. I kind of wonder where they're all going to go. Hansen, Joachim Hansen is a guy that could make some noise over here. I love watching Joachim Hansen.
He's a nut. I mean, he is just all elbows and knees. I mean,
yeah,
off. And you know, he comes and brings it too. I'm excited to see some of these Pride guys getting onto the UFC cards just to see what they can do in the cage and bring their striking skills to bear. You know, I think Sakurai is fantastic, and I think if he is fighting Sanchez, and I think I'll check here in a minute when I get a break here. I think it's he's on the card for 74. That I like him against Sanchez. I mean, I think he's got the measured aggression, and I think he's a far better striker than Sanchez. And
be a great fight for sure.
I think it'd be a great fight for sure, and I think a huge fight for Diego because I mean, if he loses, you can just kind of write him off for a year or two until he gets some wins again. I tell you, you know, and we keep saying this every time we come on the cast that it is just a great time to be a fan.
Yeah, it is.
It truly is.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the fight night card. I thought, you know, personally, I thought it was the best they've done yet. just a great card for a free night of fights, in my opinion.
The question I'm going to ask you, since I didn't see the whole card, is if you're somebody that just kind of tuned in to Spike with nothing else to do, are you making an effort to watch the pay-per-view card tomorrow afternoon based on what you saw Tuesday?
You know, if it's the first time seeing the UFC and you don't know, you know, if you're not wondering why there's not a title fight on the pay-per-view, I'm thinking you might be doing it, especially seeing highlights of Rich Franklin. You know, they're showing, obviously they had promos for 72.
Sure.
They're showing the Nate Quarry highlight. You know, Franklin's a huge guy, and you know, I think Forrest Griffin was in the highlights. I think you're probably giving a pretty good thought to buying the pay-per-view.
That's what I was wondering, because I mean, if you look at the card, I mean, there's a lot of names that the average MMA fan is going to recognize, but if you're a new fan, there aren't a whole lot of names you're going to recognize. I mean, you know, Rich Franklin, you might have heard of Forrest Griffin.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, realistically, that's about as far as it goes.
Yeah, and they're doing the right thing by hyping those two guys, because, you know, the hardcores like us, we're going to be looking at this card and saying, you see Tyson Griffin versus Clay Guida and go, oh.
I know. Oh, geez.
You know, I need no promotion for that fight, because
right.
I see those two names and I think, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, exactly. But I think, you know, if you're a new fan and you just watched five fights that you hadn't heard of anybody, really.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, the basic fan certainly didn't recognize anybody on that card.
Sure,
you might think, geez, you know, here's a pay per view coming up with Rich Franklin, and you know, I just got entertained for a couple hours.
Yeah,
you know, they might give the pay per view a swing.
Yeah.
That was kind of my thought in asking you the question. Just
yeah, it wouldn't
I mean,
be
surprising. I'm gonna buy the card anyway; it doesn't matter. But
yeah,
you know, I mean, I love this card. I think it's a really underrated card.
Yeah,
I really do.
Yeah. I think the fact that there's no title fight on it. Is really what a lot of people are harping on.
Yeah,
and the fact that
it
was going to be free, you know, and is no longer free, that's,
yeah.
You know, that's probably...
And those are very good arguments. I don't think there's any question about, you know, certainly,
sure.
Especially when you look at the next three or four UFC cards they're planning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's no question that this is the, I forgot where I read it, redheaded stepchild of them.
Yeah.
But having said that, there are some really good, intriguing matches on this card. I don't think there's any blowouts on the card, truthfully. I mean,
yeah.
If you look at the betting lines, they would support that. I think there's only one big dog, and that's Jason Tan.
Yeah.
And you know how that's gone this year.
Yeah, no kidding.
So I think it's going to be a very competitive card.
Yeah, I do too. It looks pretty solid to me. Let's talk some Ultimate Fighter here real quick before
sure.
we get into the preview. Now, you saw both the shows last night. What are your thoughts coming out of that?
What is Nate Diaz thinking? What is he thinking? He put on that little pouty, I'm going to kick your butt face there when, you know, Carl was calling him out. And I'm thinking to myself, if Carl Parisian was calling me out, regardless of what happened, I would retreat to the nearest corner and just turn my eyes away. You know, I don't care how tough you think you are. And, you know, Nate Diaz is a tough dude. I mean, there's no,
yeah.
You know, he's a tough kid and, you know, props to him. But you don't want a piece of Carl. I mean, and you could just see, you know, this is the beauty of television sometimes, that you could just see that, that he was really fronting. I mean, it just makes you wonder. I mean, what are you thinking? Just, you know, it's Carl freaking Parisian. I mean, one of the, perhaps the best welterweight in the world.
Yeah.
Considered by many to be the uncrowned welterweight champion of the world, and you're getting in his grill? Forget it.
Although Nate Diaz is the kind of guy, if Bob Sapp got in his face, I don't think he'd hesitate to punch him in the nose.
And that's true too. I mean, that is part of Nate's appeal, I suspect. That
yeah.
he has the I don't care attitude. But, you know, getting your ass whooped by Carl Parisian on cable TV in front of your peers and, you know, a national audience without getting paid, mind you, is probably not a good idea. As far as the show itself, I got to admit, I've kind of tired of the frat boy mentality in the
yeah.
house. And so, I mean, the fights, I thought the fights were great. I mean, Manny Gamburian has won me over.
Yeah, that's some crazy stuff or what?
Wow. I mean, just wow. I thought going into that fight, I thought that, you know, and especially how good Joe looked in his earlier fight,
yeah,
I thought
yeah.
that Joe Lauzon was going to just, you know, had his way with him, you know, use his
yeah.
reach advantage, punish him, get him to the ground, maybe work some ground and pound. I thought he was just going to own the fight. And Manny
yeah.
went right at him, you know, worked the aggression, got the takedowns. I thought he worked some very impressive ground and pound.
Yeah.
And then he started winning the striking battle with some great leg kicks in the third round.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
just
yeah.
Just backing Joe up. And you could hear BJ just plaintively wailing.
Yeah.
Joe, you got to do something. And you feel for BJ because he's just so, you know, you love him or hate him. He's just so emphatic. You know,
yeah.
he just wears his emotions right out on his sleeve.
Oh yeah, it kills him when his guys are losing.
Kills him when they're not. And I can't explain Joe the way he approached the fight because it just looked like he was hesitant. And
yeah, I don't think he knew what to do. I mean, you could see with his eyes that he was just bewildered.
Yeah, and I'm thinking you got a guy here that you have the reach advantage on, to whom really skill wise, again on paper, you have no deficit to.
Yeah.
And he just got owned. I mean,
yeah.
The first round, you know, you could have called that 10-8. I mean, when Manny sunk the guillotine, and in the first round, I thought it was over.
Yeah.
I thought it was over. I mean, I really did. I thought it's done now.
Yeah, I think Joe, when he got in there, and really, first of all, I think Manny is ridiculously strong. I mean, that's got to be the case.
Yeah, he's a freak,
you know. And I think Joe got in there with him and realized that, and then it looked like a couple minutes into the first round, he's thinking, what is going on here?
Yeah.
this guy is outpowering me.
This is my show.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, I beat up his coach.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously.
Can't happen to me. So props to Manny. And, you know, it's the little engine that could. And,
yeah.
And you know, geez, he won that fight in a classic UFC style. Get the takedown,
yeah.
ground and pound, try to work your position. When they stand you up, stand up long enough to take them down again and wear
yeah.
your opponent out. And that was it. That is a UFC-style victory right there.
Yeah. And the guy's got a gas tank like no
yeah,
other.
Make your opponent gas.
Yeah.
You know, wear your opponent out. And Joe was just worn out. I mean, you could just see that halfway through that third round, before he got hit, before he got on Manny's back, mind you.
Yeah.
You could see Joe's tank was empty.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why he couldn't sink that rear naked choke.
Because
he had position.
Oh, did he have position? Because I was thinking to myself, what a compelling fight.
Yeah.
You know, Manny has clearly dominated the fight, has the fight won going into the third round. And then about
yeah.
a minute and a half to go, he's got Joe Lozano on his back with one hook in, trying to sink the choke in. And Manny in completely a defensive position, but that's where the ground and pound came in, and
yeah.
he just wore him out. I think if that position is in the first round, I think Joe's your winner.
Yeah, and you could see it, Joe didn't want to stand up half the time. So
no.
When he was on the ground, he had some opportunities to get back up, and he
didn't
want to do it.
Get up. Yeah, you know, it's hard to win these fights on your back.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see many fighters winning on their back in any
yeah.
competition or promotion, and bizarre. It, you know, the trend of fighters either ignoring or not listening to their corners continues.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
BJ was screaming. It was an interesting juxtaposition of BJ's comments in the first fight and the second fight. In the first fight, you know, BJ was screaming out, you know, watch out for the guillotine, watch out for an omoplata, watch out for, you know, calling out
yeah.
kind of defensive instructions, where in the next
yeah.
fight he was
yeah.
yelling out offensive instructions to Gray.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing to see how BJ's mind works and how it's like he wants to get in the ring and do it for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. And I thought it was a great fight. Manny is what can you say? He's got personality, he's got some charisma, and he can
yep.
fight.
Yep.
And he's a lightweight.
And of course we have Nate Diaz taking out Gray Maynard.
Yep.
Triangle choke, second round.
Oh. You know, I don't know about you, but as I was watching this fight, especially in the first round, and Gray is dominating Nate on the ground to the first look.
Yeah.
But even with Gray landing some shots and opening up Nate, and I'm wondering if Nate's a bit of a bleeder, because I didn't see any big bombs that should have caused that much bleeding.
Yeah,
and
I think
I
he just caught him right.
Might have just caught him right. But you could just see that eventually, unless Gray really got some big shots in to, you know, hurt Diaz, Gray was going to get caught.
Oh, yeah, it was just a matter of time.
It just seemed like, it was kind of like the way a snake eyes a rat. and yeah. I'm going to eat you eventually. You know, and yeah. you could just see it, and it happened. I mean, it was just, you know, Gray made a little mistake, and bang, it was over. And,
yeah,
absolutely.
I think he knew it, too. With how fast he tapped, he was just like, okay, you got
yeah,
me.
That's it, you got me. And, you know, I mean, again, hats off to Nate, who clearly, again, has got that skill set that will do him well, because he lost the first round heavily.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's no question about it. Gray imposed his will in the first round. But you
yeah.
kind of had that sense that he wasn't going to win.
Yeah, yeah.
You really did. And I was saying it to... I was saying it to a friend of mine because they're, oh, geez, he's bleeding. And he's, how can he stand up? I said, he's going to win. You just watch and wait what happens. He's going to win. And sure enough, you know, just you got him.
Yeah.
You know, so props to Nate. Who do you like in Nate versus Manny? I mean, done.
You know, I love Nate Diaz in this fight. And
seeing as if you're lucky enough, you'll be challenging for my title.
Yeah. No, I really like Diaz in that fight. I think he's slick enough to counter Gamburian's strengths. I think it's a good matchup for Diaz. That having been said, you know, I've liked Manny's opponent in the last two fights. So,
right.
You know, who knows? I'm definitely not thinking that Gamburian's a pushover, but Diaz is just—he's very good. I think Diaz wins it.
Yeah, I want to take Manny. My heart wants, you know, I want to go with
yeah.
Manny. I really,
yeah.
really do. But I see it kind of falling into the Diaz-Maynard, you know,
yeah.
Theme. That
Just a matter of time.
Yeah. So I guess I'm probably going to have to go with Nate, too. But, you know, when that time comes, I'll have to make the decision. But I like Manny's style. I just think, I really think that as he gets into the lightweight division, though, if he's going to stay there, that he's going to run into guys that have such a height advantage on him that it's going to cost him eventually.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It wouldn't surprise me to see him in the WEC at 145. But, you know, at the same time, it wouldn't surprise me to see him run through the 155 division for a little while.
I think he'll bounce around the 155 division for quite
yeah.
a while. But then again, you look at the guys that are, again, it's looking very much like a stacked division.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
You know, he's going to be giving up height and reach to some guys that can, you know, strike well. And
yeah.
defend well on the ground, you know, Nate Diaz kind of guys. And
yeah,
I agree. I think this is not a good matchup for Manny. But
yeah,
I think it's gonna be a great fight. I think it's gonna be a lot closer than
oh for sure
some may think. I think it's gonna be a prolonged affair. But I think Nate's gonna catch him eventually in a submission and get him.
Yeah, it'll be more than a round. It could be late second, early third round. But
that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking. But I am kind of tired of the format of the show in terms of.
Yeah, the house and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Dana talking about the fighters afterwards made me cringe a little bit because I
yeah.
thought that the fighters, yes, they fought and they trained, not to, you know, but you know, how many got kicked off the show? Three.
Yeah.
Four. Actually, you're at four.
Yeah.
I thought it did not speak well of the sport. Truthfully,
yeah.
I thought that they. Popularized a fair number of thugs
yeah.
and showcased a lot of thug behavior in the guise of MMA.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say it's unwatchable because it isn't, because I like watching the fights and
sure.
I like, you know, seeing some of the personalities behind the fighters because, you know, that's what the show is all about after all. But,
yep.
you know, I don't, you know, the drunken revelry, seen it, been there, done it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the thing is, I don't know what the fix is. But, you know, I think the format will turn people off eventually, or at least make the, and I know this is happening already, you know, people just wait until 10:45 to tune in
right.
and just watch the fight.
Right. I mean, that you know, when they shaved Cole Miller's head, that was funny. Ha ha.
Yeah, that was funny.
You know, funny. Laughed. But
yeah.
you can only watch that so often.
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, as the season comes to a close, the guys that aren't in the semis, you know, and the quarters are going to get drunk and screw up
yep.
the house and break stuff and throw in blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I would rather them see, you know, as the show is starting to gain credibility and turn out fighters that are successful in the UFC, I would rather see them get 16 guys that, A, want to be there,
yeah.
B, don't necessarily have a wealth of experience in past fights, who will deal with the training, and really focus more on the training and what these guys go through as opposed to pissing matches in the house. Not to say that that shouldn't be there, but it doesn't have to be emphasized as much as it is.
Yeah. Well, let's, before we get to the 72 preview, I know I keep pushing it back a little bit, but I've got a couple of things I want to hit on real quick. Mm-hmm. We've got the Ultimate Fighter finale card is actually finalized.
Yep.
So let's just run down that real quick. We got Roger Huerta in a showcase fight against Doug Evans. Talis Lytus in another showcase fight, I would imagine at least, against Floyd Sword, who I've never heard of.
No, it's a new one to me, too.
Yeah.
I think they're just feeding Lytus that... you know, to bump him up a little bit?
It seems that way to me, although it's hard to call a guy, you know, fish bait anymore because, you know, Sword is 9-2, and, you know, we just saw Anthony Johnson come in there, and, you know, so it's hard to say.
Yeah. Actually, in terms of feeding, you know, to kind of jump down the card a little bit, I see they're feeding Berube to Leonard Garcia.
Oh, gosh, yeah, they're... They have no plans to bring him back.
No,
This will be his first and last MMA fight, if I may be so bold as to predict.
I don't think there's any question that. I think Garcia is just gonna. I think this is the beating you up for bad behavior part of the show.
Oh man, I'll tell you what. You'll see that on the card.
That'll be the 10-second fight they show.
Yeah.
At the end of the night.
I was thinking the same thing. Garcia is just going to kill this guy.
Yep.
And we've got Joe Lozon versus Brandon Melendez. Cole Miller and Andy Wang.
Yep.
Rob Emerson, Gray Maynard. Of course, the Berube Garcia fight, which will be entertaining. And Brian Garrity versus Matt Wyman.
Yep.
So it'll be...
Not a bad little card.
Nice little card. Should be interesting to see how it turns out. I think the main card is pretty solid. You know, you got Huerta, you got Lytus, who's an exciting fighter.
Yep.
And of course, Penn Pulver. That has the potential to be a great fight. So it'd be.
If Pulver brings his A game and really focuses to come in and fight, why can't he win that fight?
Yeah, honestly, I have no idea about that fight because I haven't seen Pulver in. I haven't seen Pulver in so long, and I haven't seen Penn at lightweight in so long. Who knows?
I mean, when was the last time BJ fought? Not necessarily at lightweight, just period. I mean, it's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a little bit.
It's been like 6-8 months.
Let's see. He fought Matthews. Who did he fight after that? Was that it?
I think that was it.
I think it was, too.
I think that was it. Let me just check here. I think it's been you got to wonder. I mean, you talk about maybe Pulver not being active. I mean, here's BJ Penn since March. Here's BJ Penn since January of 2005. We'll go backwards. TKO strikes against Hughes September 06. That was his last appearance in the cage.
Yeah.
Split decision versus St. Pierre March of 06. So that's two fights in 06. Beat Renzo Gracie at K1 in July of 05, lost to Ryota Makeda in March of 05. So BJ's been essentially fighting. He's got four fights in the last 2 years, 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Last one is coming up on 9 months.
Pulver's got even fewer than that.
Oh, I think Pulver, I agree. Pulver, neither of these guys have been terribly active, but I guess I don't see where BJ is the huge, huge favorite here. I just don't.
Yeah.
Pulver's last fight was on the same card where he lost to Joe Lozon.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Back in September, so he hasn't fought. But still, since he's got one more fight than Penn does over the same period. He's fought five times. Lost to Max Sakurai and three wins over guys I don't know.
Sakurai. I forgot about that fight. That was a great fight.
So Sakurai. You know, and that's no shame.
Yeah,
you know, for sure. I think he's one of the, you know, I put Sakurai up there against most guys. Certainly, I think he'd make a mark in 170.
Yeah.
I think it's gonna be a great fight, and I think Pulver is gonna surprise some people.
Yeah,
I really do, because I just have a feeling. It's hard to, you know, just all through the series, you could see Jen's kind of eyeing BJ and eyeing BJ.
Yeah, that's for sure. He has said that he wasn't very motivated before, and and BJ just kind of got under his skin. But, you know, BJ, I mean, you could see just during that friggin' ping pong match last night, BJ is, he's intense.
He is. But you could just see, you know, I mean, you got to figure the when he beat BJ, that's over 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And at the time, Pulver was the champion of the division.
Mm-hmm. And the underdog.
And the underdog. And you got to think, that here's Jens Pulver, that, you know, he's been kind of brought back in, resurrected, if you will, because let's face it, before the Ultimate Fighter, most fans didn't know who Jens Pulver was. And now he's got his face out there, and now he's going to be fighting BJ, who is, you know, got all the hype in the world. And, you know, Jens has got to be thinking, you know, if I win this fight, it's not just good for the Team Pulver team, of course, but if he wins this fight, what's to stop Jens Pulver from being in the mix at lightweight?
Yeah.
What's to say he's not a contender at 155?
Yeah, and well, maybe I think the implication was that the winner of this one gets a title shot.
Well, there you go. So, I mean, if that's the implication, you know, Jens Pulver is two fights away from getting back to the top of the mountain where he hasn't fought and since he got knocked out by Joe Lozano, and I'm sure at that time most people were writing him off. So
yeah.
I would think the motivation for Jens to train like crazy for this fight and win this fight has got to be just absolutely over the top.
Yeah, I would think.
I you know, when this comes down, you know, I'm probably going to lean towards Jens to win this fight.
Yeah, I have to mull it over a little bit more. I got to give it some more thought. We'll bring it up again next week when we talk about the Strikeforce card as well.
The Strikeforce card.
I gotta think about that one.
Baroni Shamrock. I don't even want to see him fight. I just want to hear him talk.
I
would pay more to have them sit across the table from each other and just talk smack for an hour. I mean,
it looks like a solid card, dude. The rest of the card looks pretty good.
It does. You know, Elite XC and Strikeforce starting to make a little mark.
Yeah.
You know, if they throw off a good product, you know, well produced show, they'll get a little groundswell of support. There's always that side of fans and whatever, you know, sport you follow that root against the big guy.
Yep, that's for sure.
You know, for every 10 WWE fans, there's a couple ROH fans. You know what I mean? I mean, to use the analogy. So
yep.
We'll get to that. That'll be fun to watch. Oh,
yeah,
I just hope they go out there, touch gloves, and start yelling at each other and throwing punches. How great would that be?
Yeah. All right. And then one more thing before we get to the 72. We had Johnny Morton and Royce Gracie both testing positive for steroids this past week. What's your take on this whole situation?
Johnny Morton doesn't necessarily surprise me because looking at the pictures of him, he looked ripped up more than I would recall from his pro football days. Royce Gracie, on the other hand, I think is the much more concerning aspect of this story. And I hate to go from, you know, Baroni Shamrock, you know, yip yap into something as serious as, you know, Royce Gracie getting nailed for steroids, but
yeah.
I don't think any MMA fan who's read this story has had any other emotion but just outright shock.
Yeah.
I mean, Royce Gracie is the icon of the sport. I build it, you know. And for him to be nailed for steroids really makes me wonder if there is not a bigger steroid problem in MMA that no one is talking about, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if you're going to start to see, you know, I want to couch this lightly. You know, the easy analogies are to look at professional wrestling, you know, or professional baseball, or professional football, where guys are trying to build muscle mass. And to have Royce Gracie, who is skinny as a rail, at 170, 175 pounds, test positive is alarming to me, because if he's juicing, then I'm sure there are legions of fighters who look up to Royce as, you know, the Ali sort of figure who has brought MMA more or less, you know, the first real big name in MMA.
Yeah.
That they probably are too. And I guess I would be concerned about this story making its way into the mainstream media in a time where MMA is very much on the edge. I mean, if you read Sports Illustrated this week, you know, they ran some letters from readers, and you know, half read what I thought was a very fair piece about mixed martial arts in Sports Illustrated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Half thought that it was still, you know, brutal and uncivilized. And then the other half were obviously fans who read the piece and were either enlightened or supportive.
Yeah.
So you're still out there in the middle. But if you take this story and it makes the pages of a relatively popular, you know, well-read sports magazine, I think the damage it would do to MMA is tremendous. Because, again, you're looking at, I mean, if you look at who works MMA or who are the fighters that train MMA, you know, a vast majority are, well, not a vast majority, but certainly a significant portion of,
yeah,
are wrestlers, are former boxers, are guys that have worked with weights. Now you're starting to get other professional athletes from other disciplines, i.e. football, coming into this sport. And I think that the UFC has a lot to lose from this story, even though Royce Gracie is not affiliated with their promotion at this time. Because if they're going to be the big public name, I think that they are really going to have to look at their stable of fighters and start testing them all. Because the last thing you want is, you know, the last thing you want is one of your surprise champions, and I'm not going to name names, and it's not about allegating certain fighters. Let's say, let's take a fighter, Fighter A. Fighter A comes up to the Ultimate Fighter, works his way up, trains, gets bigger, wins a bunch of fights, surprises the champion and becomes a champion, and then tests positive with the Nevada State Athletic Commission for anabolic steroids. Kaboom.
Yeah, well, it's Tim Sylvia.
Kaboom.
Yeah, it happened with him, you know.
Yep.
It happened with Josh Barnett.
But, again, these are names that are kind of before the mainstream push.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, before you had Chuck Liddell.
Yeah, but there is a precedent,
TV.
Too. Yeah.
But there is a precedent, and that, well, it's not even a precedent. Now it's current.
Yeah.
And I think it is a very concerning trend. You know, if you've got someone like Royce Gracie, who is arguably the most respected man in all of MMA for his accomplishments, at 175 pounds now, we're not talking about some guy who's 245 and looks like Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
You know, we're looking at a guy who's 175 who is known for submission holds, and he's testing positive. That is extremely concerning. And if I'm running a bit promotion, especially a promotion that's trying to be nationally known, then I think you really have to watch your own lawn, you might say. So anyway, I think it's far more alarming than just Royce Gracie getting caught for steroids, because I think if he's positive for steroids, everybody else could be too.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, and in California, it is mandatory that everybody on a card gets tested now. And I think that has to be, I mean, even where it's not required, I think the UFC has to start testing all their guys, because that's somewhere where they can say, hey, look, you know, we know it's an issue. Here's what we're doing to circumvent that. Because you've got baseball, on the other hand, they can be put up against baseball and say, you know, whereas they're randomly testing guys, we're testing everybody that's competing on a given night.
Right.
I think they've got to do that.
I agree.
It's the only logical step to take when there's that kind of suspicion, or where there's going to be that kind of suspicion.
I completely agree. I think with this story breaking, you have that kind of suspicion.
Yeah.
And I think the sooner you clean it up internally, the better it will be that no one else has to.
Exactly.
You know, and like I said, really this only speaks to one promotion, and that's Zuffa LLC.
Yeah.
Because the rest of these smaller promotions, I mean, you just had Tommy Morrison essentially in a pseudo bare knuckles brawl that wasn't sanctioned by anybody on an Indian reservation. Well, that's going to happen. But if you are going to go straight, if you are going to be mainstream, if you are going to try to be a national, recognized, public domain sport, you would best clean your stuff up before somebody else does for you.
Yeah.
Scary story. I think it's scary. I think it's a horrible story. Horrible story.
Sure. So on that note, let's move into the UFC 72 card. We've got
cheers, thanks, Sean.
we've got a big card tomorrow night, UFC 72. Now that we're 40 minutes into our UFC 72 preview, let's actually start it.
Let's start the preview. It's okay. Nobody's on the card anyway.
Yeah, no kidding.
Terrible card.
So we'll start at the bottom of the card. We've got a welterweight fight. Dustin Hazlett, who previously has fought Tony D'Souza and Diego Saraiva in the UFC, taking on Stevie, the Smiling Assassin, Lynch. Who
what
is
a
Irish
great nickname.
Name. Yeah, isn't that great?
I think this is Hazlett's fight to lose. If you go through the card, you've got it's littered with Irish-born fighters.
Yep.
Or fighters who have some sort of Irish connection, either in their nickname, heritage, etc. I like Hazlett here. I think he's more well-rounded. He has more experience. I think Lynch is going to be a little over his head. Having said that, if you recall the other cards that have been from the UK and overseas, you know, the home crowd really gets into it pretty well. Yep. And I'm wondering if that'll be enough to kind of push Lynch on to a surprise victory. So I wouldn't rule it out, but I'm not betting on it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Hazlett here, probably by submission, with a takedown and an armbar of some such.
Yeah.
That'd be my lead.
Yeah, I've got Hazlett by submission in round two for this one. I agree. I think Hazlett's the more well-rounded guy. I haven't seen a lot of Steve Lynch, but I just think Hazlett's going to take it here.
Hold on. No problem. Shh. Hey. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, I know how that goes. All right. So, what's that?
Back to you. Sorry about that.
No problem. So next up, we've got Ed Herman versus Scott Smith.
I think this should be one of the fights of the night.
Yeah.
Scott Smith, clearly a lot of heart in knocking out Pete Sell on the way down. Cannot explain why he lost to Patrick Cote.
Yeah.
Herman is due to make a little more noise. And I think that this is a little bit better matchup for Herman, who I think has gotten into fights over his physical head the last couple times he's been out. He lost to Kendall Grove and I think Jason McDonald. Both
yep.
are big guys with good submission skills. I think Smith's going to try to stand and bang with Herman, and I think these guys are going to go out and just toss punches, and they're really going to get the crowd into it. I would love to see this one show up on the main card somehow.
Yeah.
What I recall is Smith losing the fight to Sell before he won the fight. And on the basis of that, I'm going with Herman, who I think is going to win a technical knockout slash knockout somewhere in the middle of the second round, but I think this is going to be a real entertaining fight and something that should show up on the main card when all is said and done.
Yeah, I've also got Herman here. I'm a big Scott Smith fan. I love watching Scott Smith. Like you said, tons of heart, and he's always willing to throw down. That having been said, I think Herman, I've got Herman by submission. I think they'll come out and slug it out in the first round. And barring Smith catching Herman with a good shot that puts him out, I think they'll go into the second round, stand for a little bit, and then Herman will take him down and tap him out. Because Herman's got underrated submissions, I think. That armbar he had on the last guy he fought, I can't remember, Chris Price, I believe it was.
Price, yep.
Just a great armbar that he had there, and I think that's a part of his game that's underrated, and he's going to use it to his advantage here.
Yeah. I think we're on the same page here, but I think
yeah.
it's going to be a real entertaining fight.
Yeah.
Fun stuff.
Yeah, I agree. I hope to see that one. I'll see it either way, but I hope to see it on the main card.
Exactly.
Next up, we've got Colin Big C Robinson, the local guy, taking on Eddie Sanchez, who was cannon fodder for Mirko Krokop not too long ago.
That's true. This is actually the one that's going to decide the prediction championship. Is oddly enough, myself
yeah.
and Matt Palke, who, as we all know, is a tremendous copycat and as unoriginal as Xerox. He must have read my notes wrong, and he picked Sanchez. I'm going with Robinson, even though I don't know a whole lot about him. I do know that he's won a bunch of fights in a row. I do know that he is from right down the street. I don't think you can underestimate the hometown advantage. And I throw that in context with Eddie Sanchez, who is not a big name, who was dominated by Krokop, which, again, no foul there. But it just strikes me as they're using Sanchez as a theoretical feed. Here's a guy that is literally from 20 miles away, fighting in his home country, practically his zip code, in the heavyweight division. I'm not sure how Sanchez got stuck into this mess after he got, after he got thrown to the wolves and Krokop. Either that or I'm looking at it wrong, that they're tossing Sanchez in there to get a win against some local guy, but it just seems to me that it's the other way around. Robinson is a big dude. I think he's over 6'4". He's got a couple TKO wins. He's got some submission wins, so he must have some sort of ground skills. I would be surprised if Robinson didn't come out like a absolute house of fire with a rabid Irish crowd behind him, probably all of his family there, and just go right at Sanchez. With the crowd going nuts, I would not be surprised to see Sanchez have a little bit of the deer in the headlights look again. And I see Robinson going right at him and just pounding away until he gets a win. That's what I see it happening. that's the way I hope it happens, obviously. I'm just not, I've seen a couple of Sanchez's earlier fights. I'm just not real impressed with him. And
I think I
better picking against him in this one.
I've got Sanchez in this one. I think Sanchez is going to go out there, and I do believe, like you said, I think there's going to be initial storm when Robinson comes out from the corner. But I think Sanchez is going to weather that storm, and I think he's going to knock Robinson out in the second round. I think Sanchez, if he catches you right, you're going to sleep, and I think he was in over his head against Krokop.
Oh, absolutely.
That was obvious, and I think he's just going to be angry and come out and fight like he's angry in this fight. Now, if he fights sloppy, then that's going to be it's not going to be very good, because Robinson is, he's only 7-2, but he's 38 years old, so he's an experienced guy. It's a tough one to call. I've only seen a little bit of Robinson. It's a tough one. I've got Sanchez. I think Sanchez is going to take it.
Right. Remember, limb. Go out on a limb.
Yeah.
This is my limb. This is my limb. It's just one of those things. Why would they get this guy?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out how he fits into the. I mean, clearly, Eddie Sanchez got run over by Krokop, and I would think that I'm not sure how the UFC figured they were going to put what they were going to do with Sanchez after he got run over by Krokop, because he has no credibility after that. I mean, because he ran away, and Krokop finally cornered him and beat the hell out of him.
Yeah.
And so I'm just not seeing how he gets on this pay-per-view card, as opposed to, one of the fight nights or a subcard somewhere else.
I think they're rewarding him. I think nobody wanted to fight Krokop in that first fight.
That's probably true. That's probably true too. But we'll see. We'll see. I mean, if I go down with this one, so be it. But I like the home. You got to figure they're doing this card in Ireland. You got to have a couple Irish guys win.
Yeah, I would say if there's a toss up in this card, I'd say this is it.
Yep. I mean, I think the betting line on this is Sanchez -200, which for somebody who's known against somebody who's not known, I thought was kind of low. I would have figured it would have been a little higher than that, but we'll see what happens. I couldn't go with all favorites in this card. There's always got to be somebody that's going to pull the upset, and this seems as good a pick to me as any.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't looked at the lines actually, but
Hazlitt's favored, Herman's favored. I think about -150 or so. Sanchez is -200.
Yeah, see, that makes me nervous.
Well, again, but here's Eddie Sanchez, who most people have seen him fight.
Yeah.
You didn't see him fight well, but you saw him fight.
Yeah.
Like I say, I don't know. There's two ways to look at it. I guess I'm picking my way, and like I said, I'll go down on my sword if need be.
Sure.
But, I'd like to at least see the fight.
Yeah.
If I'm going to drop the dart on this fight, I'd like to actually see the fight. So.
Yeah. Well, next up we have Marcus Davis, who I'm a huge fan of
yep.
lately. Love Marcus Davis fighting Jason Tan, and this is one. This is the dangerous fight of the night. You got your late replacement coming in
yep.
for who was it? Terry Eatem.
Yep, Terry Eatem.
Paul Taylor. Paul Taylor.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Which I was so excited for that fight. I was disappointed that he got taken off for Tan, but. Marcus Davis, Jason Tan. I've got Davis in this one.
Yep. Hard to take Tan.
Yeah, it is.
There's only so many Houston Alexanders. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, for real. I think Davis knocks him out in the first round. Davis is just he's good. He's one of those guys that's going to sneak up on the division. I think.
Yep.
You know, he's kind of working his way up, but he's been very impressive in everything that he's done.
Yeah, I noted that in my preview column that he seems to be quietly ascending the ladder.
Yeah,
clearly I think this is Davis' fight to lose. Having said that, out of the 8 fights on the card, these are the longest odds. And if history has shown us anything over the last 6 to 8 months, it is the long underdog that usually is the surprise of the night. So,
yeah.
I couldn't quite go out on that limb.
Yeah.
So I took Davis by TKO in the second round. Regardless, I think it's Davis's fight to lose. He's being groomed for a little run in the welterweight division, and he's making it count by looking very impressive. So,
yeah.
But having said that, I remember having this conversation with the Jardine-Alexander fight not too long ago, and we
yep.
figured it was a walkover for Jardine as he moved up the light heavyweight division, and
yep.
what happened. So, anything can happen, but, I think I'm going to go with the
Yeah.
reasonable pick.
I agree.
Both Davis.
I agree. Next on the card, I'm probably most excited for this fight out of any of the other ones.
Excellent fight.
Yeah, Tyson Griffin, Clay Guida. What do you got in this one?
I took Griffin, and I deliberated on this a long, long time. This is going to be a great fight. This is a coin flip as far as I'm concerned. Griffin is the favorite in terms of the betting line, but Guida has a wealth of experience. He's fought against some big time guys like Gilbert Melendez.
Yeah.
He's fought Dean Thomas, which say what you want, but Thomas has been around.
Yeah.
He went 25 minutes with Melendez. You know,
yeah.
he went distance with Melendez, who is undefeated and one of the top 5 guys in the world. And he is a solid, solid opponent. Griffin, I thought Griffin fought a pretty good fight against Frank Edgar the last time we saw him when he realized he was losing.
Yeah.
And I think that it looked to me, especially watching it again, that Griffin definitely underestimated Edgar, and it cost him the victory, truthfully. But when he did turn it on, he turned it on with authority, and I thought he looked fantastic.
It was a great fight.
It was a great. I mean, to me, the Griffin Edgar fight was a fight of the year candidate, hands down.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
got to
be
sure.
the vote. So that's got to be an option somewhere.
Sure.
I think Griffin is going to win this, and I think it's going to go deep, though. I think these guys are going to battle on the feet and on the ground. I think it's going to go back and forth. I think Griffin has a little better hands, and I think he's going to get more strikes in. I think I have him submitting him after getting some strikes in late in the third
yeah.
round is the way I see this going. But this was a hard one. I think Guida has more than enough talent. I think he will match up well with Griffin and can easily win this fight if he can, match hands and work on the ground, and especially if Griffin comes out slow like he did against Edgar. I don't think that'll happen. I think the loss to Edgar embarrassed him, and I think that this is a must-win fight for Griffin if he wants to make a name for himself and stay in the UFC.
Yeah, I've also got Griffin in this fight, but like you said, Guida is a tough dude, and the guy does not gas ever. I'm pretty sure he could fight for like 5 hours and not look any worse for it. This is a guy. He went 15-0 at one point between 2004 and 2005. Went 11-0 in 2005. Fought 11 times. Won every fight.
Yep.
It's just ridiculous.
Yep.
And he's a guy that kind of came out of nowhere on the, I believe it was the first or second Strikeforce card against Josh Thompson. Took Josh Thompson five rounds.
Yep.
And won, and then lost the fight that you're talking about to Melendez.
That went five rounds also.
Yeah. Also went five rounds. Lost the split decision.
They lost the split decision to a guy who's 12-0, and like I said, by many considered to be one of the best five.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, I mean, Guida's just a tough guy, and you know, I see this one going the distance. I think Griffin wins by decision, but it'll be close. I mean, I think Griffin, like you said, has got the better game on the feet. He's got a good ground game too. They're both very good grapplers. If there is a way that Griffin will win, I think it is by probably submission, or rather get the stoppage. It'll be a feat by submission, but you know I can't wait for this fight. It's gonna be a heck of a fight to watch.
This is your fight of the night, right here.
Yeah,
this is your fight of the night.
I think these guys go out there and just put on a ridiculous pace, and just keep it rolling the whole time.
Yep.
It'll be a good fight. I don't see any way that it won't be. Of course, that having been said, it'll probably be a 10-second knockout or something.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah. Now, up next, we got a little bit of a head scratcher for why it's on the main card, at least to me, as opposed to some of the other fights. You got Jason McDonald against Rory Singer. What do you got here?
How many fights does he have left in his contract?
I don't know.
Does he have one? I mean, holy moly! This looks like they're tossing Jason McDonald a bone for hanging in there against Franklin and taking a beating. I have never been impressed by. I just have not been impressed with Rory Singer from his tough debut to his last couple fights. I would have rather seen Smith and Herman in this spot. Quite honestly.
Yeah.
I think McDonald is just much better at this point in pretty much all aspects of the game than Singer is. It'll really depend on how long Singer hangs in there. I've got McDonald by submission. I just think he has better skills on his feet, on the ground. I think he'll dominate this fight. And keeping, McDonald has done well against the Ultimate Fighter fighters. So I really don't have much to say on this. I just don't understand. I agree with you. I don't understand why this is in the hole for the main event.
Yeah, the best fight that Rory Singer has had in the UFC was his decision over Josh Haynes, where he just pounded on Haynes for three rounds,
right?
And couldn't finish him. But you know, I mean, he came out and he beat Ross Poynton. Here's the opponents in the UFC: Ross Poynton,
right?
Who we know, Poynton, great guy,
game fighter, will in the fight, does not win often.
Yeah, Ross Poynton, Josh Haynes. And the loss to Yushin Okami.
Right, and actually when he fought Haynes, Haynes has dropped down in weight since then.
Yeah.
Haynes was going from like 205 to 2085 down to 170, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And they fought at
weight. And he lost to Luke Kuma when he got knocked out last time at 170.
Yeah, so and he's got a loss to Yushin Okami, which,
yeah,
is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing to be ashamed of, but I think, I agree with you. I haven't been real impressed by Singer.
No.
He's a decent fighter. I don't know that he's, I don't think he's in the same class as McDonald. Now, McDonald, admittedly, has been inconsistent throughout his career, but at the same time, when he's on, my gosh, the guy is, he's on,
But I think you could argue that, though, recently, if you go back over his last, say, four fights, he has been consistent. I mean,
yeah.
he got pounded out by Rich Franklin, who, he was, I don't want to say he was fed to Rich Franklin, but, it was Franklin's first fight after getting pounded out by Silva.
Yeah.
You're fighting one of the best fighters in the world who was anxious to get back into a title hunt. And
yeah.
I thought that he took a beating, but he was game. I thought he got a couple pokes in himself, and I thought he acquitted himself relatively well against a better fighter. But you're looking at a guy that, aside from that loss, had won six in a row.
Yeah.
And, he certainly may have gotten his stuff back together here and wants to hang around. I agree with you. I don't see where Singer's in McDonald's class right now.
Yeah.
And unless McDonald comes out completely flat, which I can't see that he would, based on the opportunity he's got right now on his role, where he is on the card, this just strikes me as McDonald's fight.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say. I think McDonald taps him in the first round. I think gets him in a bad position with his height. You know, Singh is a tall guy too, but I think McDonald will use his strengths and get him on the ground and submit him.
Yep.
Yeah, next fight we've got Forrest Griffin and Hector Ramirez.
This should be an entertaining fight too.
Yeah.
You know, everybody knows Forrest Griffin.
Yep.
Boy, was he on a roll until he got knocked out by Jardine. Right? I mean, Forrest is putting it together. I mean, everybody's
yeah.
kind of figuring he'd go over Jardine and start to be considered in line. But boy,
I had Jardine in that fight, by the way.
Well, that was a good move on your part. you know, and now here he is, you know, back down the ladder, you know, kind of where Jardine probably is at this point. And then you throw in Hector Ramirez. I think both of these guys are going to put on a real entertaining battle. I think they're going to stand right up and just keep throwing.
Yep.
I like Forrest eventually to take this one to the ground and win by strikes, maybe catch the submission, but I think that's where it's going to go, somewhere in the third, because I think Ramirez is a tough, tough dude. And I think we'll be able to hang with Griffin for quite a while. I think this will go back and forth, but I think Forrest has so much more to lose in this fight. He needs a win.
Yeah, I'm going back and forth with this one, to be quite honest with you. I think this could be the upset special of the night. I think Ramirez, you know, I think like you said, they're going to come out and swing.
Yep.
And I mean Ramirez is tough. He's got some power, and that could. You know, Griffin's got a great chin,
yep.
But you know, I don't know. I've got Griffin right now. the day before the fight,
Sean. It's tomorrow afternoon.
I know. I haven't posted my picks yet, but I've got Griffin right now. Yeah, I've gone against my gut too many times, and it's burned me. So I'm wondering.
See, but Sean, that's the glory of the prediction championship. I have no.
This is what I'm saying.
I have no credible reason to pick Colin Robinson to defend my title. You know, except I just feel that he's going to win. You know, and that's all I can tell you. You got to go with your gut, man.
Yeah, but yeah, I see it like you see it. You know, if Griffin wins, excuse me, I think it's going to be just like you said. It's going to go to the ground and he pounds him out or submits him. I think if Ramirez wins. It's going to be a knockout, just a straight up knockout.
Yep, bang knockout.
But I kind of have a hard time seeing that. I don't know. I can't see Griffin losing two knockouts in a row.
I have a hard time seeing him getting caught with a shot and getting knocked out based on Jardine pounded him. Just
yeah.
And actually, if you go back to the Ortiz fight, Ortiz pounded him.
Yeah,
and he didn't go out for either one. That's why when I was thinking about this fight, I was thinking even if they slug it out, I think eventually Forrest is going to wear Ramirez out.
Yeah.
Or get to the fight to where he wants and he has the distinct advantage. I think Forrest will be able to eat a couple of Ramirez's shots to press his advantage, and I think that is the difference here that gets Forrest over the top.
Yeah.
I have this one going three rounds late in the third round. I think he might go to a decision, but I think I have Forrest by, you know, strikes, just wearing, you know, Ramirez out on the ground.
Yeah, I'm going to take the same thing. I'm going to take the same position right now. I'm going to say Forrest by TKO in the third, and I'm going to say the same thing I said with Pete Spence and Tandon McCrory the other day. I'm going to say Griffin. I've got Griffin, but watch out for Ramirez.
Yeah, well,
Ramirez could sneak up.
Yeah, I think your prediction champion picked McCrory. Go over the top.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, see?
There you go. Go with your gut, man.
I've got Griffin. I'm staying with Griffin.
Attaboy.
I've got Griffin.
Make a stand, Sean. Make a stand.
Yes. Now, if you see that I pick someone, if you see tomorrow that I pick Ramirez in the column, then well.
Yeah. On the post show, I'm going to crucify you.
And then call shenanigans if you will, but I just want to invite you on the show next week.
Yeah, great pick. Great pick there, Waffle. Yeah.
So, on that note, move on to the main event of the evening. We've got Rich Franklin versus Yushin Okami. Intriguing fight here. What do you see happening here?
This is one that I'm going to echo your statement on the last fight. My gut was pulling me towards Okami, like really pulling me towards Okami. The only reason I did not go with Okami and I did go with Franklin is because when I watched the Okami Swick fight again,
yes,
I was surprised that Okami couldn't finish Swick. Where if I saw Franklin in the same position, it would have been over.
Yeah.
And I just thought that, and I don't know why, but it just seemed like Okami had no pop in his hands.
Yeah.
And Franklin, I think, is a man on a mission. McDonald, when he beat McDonald, McDonald was as hot as anybody.
Yeah.
Not as hot as anybody, but certainly was warm. And Franklin demolished him. Just demolished him. And I think Franklin is looking at, you know, Franklin's been in the game a long time. And I'm thinking that he's thinking that he's got to get back to the top of the mountain as soon as possible to start another title reign, because any setbacks are going to push him back on enough time that it might get too late.
Yeah.
And Okami is a significant opponent for him, but I just don't think Okami has the hand strength to keep Franklin away.
Yeah.
And I think
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I mean that's kind of my bottom line there.
Yeah. I think the two fights that you mentioned are the ones that are key to picking this fight. You've got Swick Okami, and if you look at every time Swick had a flurry, I was surprised that Swick didn't keep pushing the pace. I mean, he had Okami in trouble a few times with his hands.
Yes, he did.
And he didn't push the pace. Now, and then when you look back at Franklin McDonald, the look on Rich Franklin's face after he won that fight, to me, said, I am back.
Yes, I am here. It's my title.
Yeah. And I think that put him back on the trail. He's confident again. And Rich Franklin, I mean, you know, it's like I've heard on the Countdown show and on a couple other places, Okami's last two opponents in Swick, and I believe Singer,
right,
told their corners that the guy's too strong. He was outpowering him. He is not going to outpower Rich Franklin.
Because no,
Rich Franklin is a strong, strong guy. And, you know, Okami has probably, you know, is stronger than he looks, I'm sure, but Franklin's a beast.
Then why doesn't he take out Swick in that third round? I just did not understand that. I could not, for the life of me, because I remember that. And I'm thinking to myself, how is this fight not over? Because he must have landed like 20 shots, and Swick was just, maybe Swick's just real tough, you know, but they didn't look strong.
Yeah.
I think Franklin's going to come out, push the pace on Okami. I think that he's not going to fear what he's got. He's going to wade in and impose his will, as they say.
Yeah.
I think Okami will hang for a while, and I think this one will get into the third round because Okami is, you know, he's got a lot of experience. He is a very good fighter. I think he can probably defend for a while, but I think that Rich is going to use this as a showcase to demolish Okami and make his case to get back to the top.
Yeah, I don't even see it going that long, and I'll tell you why. I think the way Okami wins his fights, he wins by positioning, and he wins by, you know, controlling his opponent. He's not going to be able to do that against Franklin.
No, he's not.
I mean, Franklin's a guy, no one has pushed the pace against Okami for a sustained amount of time, and Franklin is going to do that. I think it'll be lucky if he gets halfway through the second round. I think Franklin is just, he's going to go after him. He's going to be relentless. He's going to pound him. Okami might be able to defend for a little while, but I can't see any way that Okami wins this fight. Unless he's stronger than I think he is, I just don't see any way that he wins.
Yep. I completely agree. I just, I think it's going to be anticlimactic, truthfully.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, it's a compelling fight on a lot of levels just because Okami's hot and Franklin's on the comeback trail. But at the same time, I think it's a good matchup for Franklin. I think he wins by, and get this, submission to strikes in the second round. You heard it here first.
You already heard first.
yeah.
No, I don't think it's a bad looking card. I think you're gonna see some action. I think you have some real good intriguing matchups, some even matchups.
Yeah.
I mean, blowout of the night looks like to be the Davis fight, but you know, we've said this before.
And if you look at this, I mean, I can't remember what the last card was, but it seemed like everybody was picking the same guys, and that was the card that was full of upsets.
Yep.
This one could go the same way, you know.
But I don't think there are that many upsets per se. I mean, like I say, you got a lot of close fights. There's nothing to say that Steve Lynch does not come out and knock out Dustin Haslett.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to say that
Scott Herman
doesn't knock out Ed Herman. And there's nothing to say that Clay Guida doesn't beat Griffin.
Yeah.
You know, and there's nothing to say Jason Tan, you know, riding the Irish crowd, doesn't surprise Davis.
Yeah.
You know,
it's true. I mean,
we keep seeing it happen over and over and over and over again, and we act so surprised. And, you know, after a while, you got to think, look, you know, it's a wide open field. I mean, there's nothing to say that Rory Singer doesn't surprise everybody.
Train,
you know, like a madman and come out and McDonald throws up a lackluster effort and loses. I mean, Ramirez could win. I mean, really, you could have six or seven underdogs win.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's one of those things where you got a lot of close fights, but everybody kind of leans toward the same guys.
Right. I'm not sure if that's just fear of going out on the limb or what it is. I mean, like I said, when we're goofing off and having, you know, fake betting contests and prediction contests, and, you know, it's all in good fun. But, I mean, there's an element of competition, too, and you don't want to look like a goof.
Yeah.
hence, Colin Robinson. but you still want to win. It's I think it's going to be a great card. I think it's going to be a fun card to watch. I really, truly do.
I agree.
And I'd love to go 1-7 and still hold on to my title. I think that'd be great.
Oh, well, yeah, it'll definitely be interesting.
War Robinson.
It'll definitely be interesting. I think, you know, it's a good card, and it's you got some good fights on here, good entertaining fights.
Yeah, it'll be some fun stuff. Plus, it's nice that it's during the afternoon, and, you know, no matter where you are in the United States, you can... get your grill on. It's supposed to be nice most places, I think.
Yeah.
You know, kick back with a couple beverages and, you know, push the TV outside and watch some fights.
Absolutely.
So.
Good.
There it is, man.
All right. Well, on that note, we're going to get out of here. You got any parting shots this week, Jerry?
My own parting shots, not too many. I really hope that Gracie story doesn't go too far. And, I hope, like I said, my man Colin Big C Robinson keeps me the champ, so when we get to a round table, I can discuss with you our plans to go head-to-head for the prediction championship at Pinnell, baby. You're due. You're due for a shot.
I was the first number one contender, and then I got beat, so now I got to get back.
It's all right. The mountain is here, man. The mountain is here. So, like I said, when you roll up as the number one contender with your good picks here... I'll be waiting for you.
All right.
When you go 7-1, I'll be waiting for you. Well, there's only one I'm rooting against you for.
All right. Well, let's. I'll end on this note. We got. We're gonna have. I'm gonna be covering the pay-per-view tomorrow, as is Wade Keller. So tune in for that, and be sure to check out the forums as well. I'm sure we'll have an ongoing conversation in the forums about the fights going on. So if you're not watching the fights, especially, be sure to check out the site. And we'll also have a post-pay-per-view roundtable. We'll be setting up the logistics of that pretty soon. I believe Wade Keller and myself are confirmed for that. Jerry, are you getting in on that action?
If I'm invited, I'll be glad to hop in.
Of course. Always. Invitation's always open.
I can either crow about my victory or gloom about my defeat.
Yeah, so we'll have to wait until after the fights to see what Randy says and see who wins, and we'll have to go at it after that.
Sounds good, man.
So we've got a lot of stuff going on. Be sure to tune in for the roundtable, and then next week we'll have a preview of the Strikeforce card as well as the Ultimate Fighter finale. For Jerry Cataline, this is Sean Ennis. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week, or tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow.